Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Let me tell you why this TV show exists. There are two purposes to the Pastor Study TV show. Number one, to preach the gospel for the salvation of the lost. We want unbelievers to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's our main goal. But we have a secondary purpose, to encourage the church to follow the Word and not the world. We have whole Christian denominations that are abandoning the Word and are following the world. So periodically I do what's called a heresy update, and today we're going to talk about the PCUSA Presbyterians, the United Methodists, and the ELCA Lutherans. Sadly, these denominations are abandoning Scripture. And I want to share with you some things about these churches that probably your pastor's not going to talk about if you're a United Methodist or an ELCA Lutheran. So before we begin, let's pray. Father, we pray somehow these churches that have gone astray will repent and come back to You, that they'd follow You and not the world. But Lord, if they're not going to repent and if they're going to lead people astray, may droves of people leave these churches and find better homes in a church that preaches the Word. God, speak to us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. First, let's talk about the Presbyterian Church USA. Now, most Presbyterians are fine. The Presbyterian Church in America is biblical. The Orthodox Presbyterian Church is biblical. But sadly, the big Presbyterian denomination in the United States is called the Presbyterian Church USA. It's been very pro-abortion rights for many years, and it's abandoning Scripture. Just so you know, too, the Presbyterians are the theological descendants of John Calvin from the 1500s. They're big into predestination and such. John Calvin was fine. Most Presbyterians for 500 years have been fine. Let me tell you why you should maybe leave the Presbyterian Church USA. I've done a lot of heresy updates. This is one of the worst. A feminist PCUSA Presbyterian pastor has stated she finds joy in reinterpreting Scripture. So she takes on in a sermon the story of Adam and Eve. And she teaches in the sermon God lied to Adam and Eve, but the serpent spoke the truth. And she teaches that what Eve did by eating the fruit, that was a good thing because it brought us wisdom. And then she launches into a defense of abortion because women are wise now and they can choose wisely. Let them decide about abortion. Talk about turning a Bible story on its ear. And she's a Presbyterian Church USA pastor. Next item, downtown Minneapolis is the large Westminster Presbyterian Church. Historic church, big, old, beautiful church. Looks like the most traditional church on earth. It's been radical for years. Their senior pastor just retired after 25 years. And on TV, they showed his last sermon. In the sermon, he talks about how he doesn't like rigid Christianity, conservative Christianity, but the more inclusive Christianity. The pastors at Westminster shy away from calling God He or Him or Father because that can be sexist. In fact, in his last sermon, this PCUSA Presbyterian pastor quoted Jesus to say, "Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my siblings, you've done it unto me." Did you see how he changed Scripture? Not my brothers, my siblings. And you know, in liberal circles some, you can't even say Christian brothers and sisters anymore because that's too binary. You have to say Christian siblings to include transgenderism. This pastor was one of the leaders in making sure the PCUSA started ordaining practicing homosexuals, and he won. They have a gay pride service every year at Westminster Presbyterian. And then the pastor said in his closing sermon, "I am a Christian universalist." Now, I know some people think that's a heresy, and I'm thinking, yeah, I do. Universalism is the teaching that everybody goes to heaven. You don't need to believe in Christ. Well, he's a Christian universalist, contradicting what Jesus himself said in John 14:6, "I'm the only way to heaven." And he had a Muslim imam, he had a Jewish rabbi at these services at the end, because don't we all believe in the same thing? Well, strange irony of the service was, after his sermon, the fourth graders came up to get their new Bibles. And I'm thinking, why give these kids Bibles if you're not going to believe in it? I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if the next pastor at Westminster Presbyterian Church believed like the Bible, believed like John Calvin, believed like virtually all the Presbyterians that have come before us, namely, God is our Father, don't be ashamed to call Him Father, and there's only one Savior, Jesus Christ, and yes, you must believe in Him to be saved. That is the Presbyterian Church, USA. Let's turn now to the United Methodist Church. The United Methodists are no longer united because liberals now are in control of the American United Methodist Church, and they are forcing the issue. For years, they've wanted to ordain practicing homosexuals. They haven't gotten it through their convention. Well, now they're going to do it anyway. So now the Methodist Church, United Methodists, are ordaining practicing homosexuals, and conservatives are leaving this denomination in droves. What are some United Methodist churches like? All right, way back in the 1970s, a buddy of mine got married. So I went to his wedding in about 1978 or so at St. Paul's United Methodist Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Back then, it was probably a pretty good church. You go to the website today, I went to the website to look at it. The first thing it says on their website, all are sacred. And then you keep reading, they encourage you to call your senator to make sure that abortion, killing unborn children, is legal. So they should really say some are sacred. Then they showed all these pictures of St. Paul's United Methodist members marching in the gay pride parade in Lincoln. The website says, "We believe in progressive theology. Questions are more valued than absolutes. The teachings of Jesus provide but one of many ways to experience the sacredness and oneness of life. We draw from diverse sources of wisdom in our spiritual journey." I can assure you, neither the Apostle Paul nor John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church, would have anything to do with St. Paul's United Methodist Church. Yes, St. Paul and John Wesley were rather dogmatic that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Well, they're not at St. Paul's United Methodist Church in Lincoln, where, quote, "We do not say a single creed or insist that everyone has to believe the same thing. There is more value in questioning than in absolutes." Listen, if your church has become a place where you can believe whatever you want, where Jesus is one of many saviors, where you can affirm homosexuality, abortion, that's not a Christian church anymore. And then the senior pastor does these videos of her weekly dream interpretation. I watched one of them. It was so new age and weird. Let's turn now from the PCUSA Presbyterians, the United Methodists. Let's talk about the church I know the best because I was part of it for many years, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Now again, all the other Lutheran denominations are pretty good. The Missouri Synod, the Free Lutherans, the Wisconsin Synod, the LCMC. The other Lutheran denominations are pretty much following the Bible. Sadly, the big one in the United States is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Let me give you some examples of why I led my congregation out of the ELCA, and you can too if you can get 2/3 of the vote. But here's why we led my congregation out of the ELCA. Some recent examples. ELCA's national magazine promotes universalism. Again, that's the teaching that everybody goes to heaven. They recently had an article called Lessons from Ghost Dancers. And it says that we need to embrace Native American spirituality and believe that everyone will be saved. Now, this should not come as a surprise. In 2019, the ELCA Lutherans voted in convention that we don't know what God thinks of non-Christian religions. Before the vote, God bless them, a delegate got to the microphone and said, "Of course we know. Jesus said, John 14:6, he's the only way to heaven." They voted him down by 97%. And I've quoted this many times, but the head bishop of the ELCA was asked by a Chicago newspaper, "Bishop Eaton, is there a hell?" And she said, "There may be, but I think it's empty." Jesus talked about people being in hell, weeping and gnashing their teeth. Does she know something more than Jesus Christ? Next item, ELCA Lutheran Church of the Great Spirit. Is the Great Spirit of Native American spirituality the same as the Christian God? Well, according to Lutherans in the ELCA, many of them, same thing. And so they have started a new church in Milwaukee called Lutheran Church of the Great Spirit, which, quote, combines the Lutheran Church and indigenous ceremonies. The church hosts a full moon ceremony and practices smudging. That's the burning of plants to drive away evil spirits. And the church prays in the direction of the four winds to pattern itself after Native American spirituality. Years ago, when I was still in the ELCA, I went to our Minnesota convention. And they had us turn to the north, south, east, and west to pray, to pattern ourselves after Native American. I refused to do it, but I got to the microphone. And I said, "I'm German. My ancestors worshipped Thor and Odin. What are we going to incorporate next year? Thor worship?" I went home to my church, and I told them that story. And there was a dear woman of my church, who, a Native American lady who loved Jesus. She came up to me after church with tears in her eyes. "Pastor Brock, they're trying to take us back to what Jesus saved me from." Well, the pastor of Lutheran Church of the Great Spirit was quoted in this article to say, "Indigenous peoples were living the Christian way before the Europeans came." Well, what would the Apostle Paul say to that? First of all, there was a lot of cannibalism and warfare among the Native Americans. But what would the Apostle Paul say to that? As the Apostle Paul traveled the ancient Roman Empire, did he preach Zeus and God the Father, same thing? No. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says that the false gods that the Romans worship are demons. They're not reflections of the true God. They're demons. So the ancient pagans were not worshiping God the Father before Paul came along, and the ancient indigenous peoples were not either until the missionaries came along. Next item. Former ELCA head bishop says that Jesus was hurtful and mean to the Syrophoenician woman. Now, a former ELCA head bishop is now retired, but he still preaches. And I saw him in a sermon recently. During the service, he defended children who are transitioning to the opposite sex. And then he preaches a sermon where he believes Jesus was mean to the Syrophoenician woman, but then Jesus gratefully changed his mind and was merciful. Wait a minute. If Jesus sinned against the Syrophoenician woman, he couldn't pay for our sins. He'd have to pay for his own. The insistent teaching of the New Testament was that Jesus was sinless so he could pay for the sins of sinful mankind. Well, the bishop didn't bring that up. Next item. This is awful. ELCA's National Living Lutheran Magazine quotes a poem where Jesus is dancing in a gay bar and tells the boy, "Nothing is wrong with queerness." This is the national magazine of the ELCA. In this bizarre poem, Jesus is dancing in a gay bar. He tells homosexuals they are fine just the way they are. No need for healing. In fact, what needs to be healed is the belief that something is wrong with homosexuality. Some years ago, I was part of a group, a Christian group, that helps people out of homosexuality into either, a celibate lifestyle or maybe getting married to the opposite sex. But it's a group that helps people out of homosexuality. We tried to pay for an ad in Living Lutheran magazine giving the biblical point of view. They wouldn't accept it. I mean, the people that talk about diversity and inclusion, sometimes only inclusion if you believe like they do. Next reason I led my church out of the ELCA years ago. Meet the ELCA's first transmasculine, non-binary, person of color pastor. The Reverend Eleazar Atticus Schoch Vazanella, he, they, it says in this article, they are a pastor of the ELCA in Baltimore. And what the best I can figure out, this is a woman who presents herself as a man. I think she's taking hormones with the beard and everything. And here are excerpts from her. This is a woman now who looks like a man. Here is an excerpt from her biography. This will get weird. He, that's the article talking, not me, he was the first known transmasculine non-binary person of color to be ordained in the ELCA Lutheran Church. Before he was ordained, he was wrapped in a handmade prayer shawl by now crowned priestess of Umoja, Reverend Dr. Renee Hill, bearing the images of Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Cesar Chavez. His life experiences were of being marginalized from the church due to his gender identity, the spiritual violence of being told he was an abomination in the eyes of God by the conservative Christians of his upbringing. Zavaleta, get this? Zavaleta is calling upon his trans, queer, and indigenous ancestors to interrupt whiteness and imagine full lives for God's liberated. He lives in Baltimore with his spouse, Reverend Emily, the light of his life. So now, in the ELCA Lutheran denomination, if you're a woman, but you think you're a man, then you're a man, and they'll make you a pastor. I couldn't help but think of 1 Timothy chapter 4. In the end times, people will abandon the truth and give heed to doctrines of demons. Next item, another reason to leave the ELCA Lutherans if you're still in it. ELCA Lutheran Church celebrates drag queens. A Milwaukee congregation hosted in the church a drag queen event called Drag Me to Church to raise money for an LGBT youth community center. There were, God bless them, protesters that showed up in front of the church saying, "What are you doing?" But the church is fully supportive of the LGBT community. Next, meet Luther Seminary's new queer theologian. Now, I went to Luther Seminary. When I attended that seminary many years ago, it was moderately liberal. Today, it's radical. And now they have hired a new queer theologian who's a man married to a man. And he is currently editing a series called Queer and Trans Approaches to Religion and Theology. Another one, ELCA Lutherans replaced the world's first transgender bishop with a practicing homosexual bishop. Now, I've shared a year or two ago, the ELCA appointed the world's first of any denomination, I believe, a transgender bishop, a woman who thinks she's a man, or a they, doesn't. I think she's non-binary. Anyway, so she had to step down because of alleged racism. So who did they vote to take her place? The Reverend Jeff Johnson, a man married to a man. And if I'm counting right, that means the ELC now has had one transgender bishop and currently four practicing homosexual bishops. And in addition, the president of the Lutheran Seminary in Pennsylvania is a man married to a man. I want you to go to my website, pastorstudy.org, and push the button that says, My Struggle with Same-Sex Attraction. You'll get my story of my struggle with the homosexual tendency stuff. And I'm going to say this. If you are watching this show and you have same-sex attraction, you have one of two choices. Number one, repent and follow Jesus. Or number two, live in impenitent sin. One road leads to life, one road leads to death, and isn't it tragic we have Lutheran leaders now who are on their way to death and are bringing others with them? Well, next week, there's so much heresy. Next week, we're going to do part two, and we'll deal with a little bit more on the ELCA Lutherans, and then we're going to deal with the most heretical Protestant denomination of all, the United Church of Christ. But let me close just by saying this. Here's my point. Make sure you go to a good church. Make sure the church you go to unashamedly calls God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Make sure your church believes in heaven and hell, which is what Jesus taught. Make sure your church believes that Jesus is the only Savior. He's not one of many. Make sure you believe, your church believes that sex is for marriage for a man and a woman, and that there are only two sexes. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 18. He who made them in the beginning made them male and female. Make sure you go to a church where the Bible gets final authority and not some retired former ELCA bishop who says that Jesus was mean and hurtful to the Syrophoenician woman. Just make sure you go to a church that is following the Word and not the world. And one last one. Make sure you don't go to a church that pays for abortions with offering dollars, which the United Church of Christ does, which the Presbyterian Church USA does, which the ELCA Lutheran Church does, and I believe the Episcopal Church too, in their health care plans for pastors and their families. They'll pay for abortions for any reason, and that is funded by your offering dollars. So my plea to you is, go to church, find a good church, but be careful. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, what do Catholic churches believe about these issues?
Yes, I mainly deal with the Protestant heresies because I'm a Protestant. What do Catholics say about all these things? Well, I have a problem with some of the Catholic theological teaching. I don't believe in purgatory, indulgences, praying to Mary, praying to the saints. I believe we're saved by grace alone and not by grace and good works, although some Catholics would agree with me on that. But on the moral issues, the Catholic Church is pretty good. You know, they believe premarital sex, abortion, homosexuality are wrong. The problem is the current Pope. You know, the old joke is the Pope Catholic. Sometimes I wonder if Pope Francis is Catholic. He's in favor of gay civil unions. Mm-hmm. What is the Pope doing advocating for gay civil unions? The Pope has taught that if you're an atheist but you do good, you'll go to heaven. Nobody does good. That's why we need a Savior. So he's said some very troubling things, but traditionally and officially on the moral issues, the Catholic Church is pretty good. So there you go.
Yeah. Thank you. Here's a question from a viewer. I stay in my ELCA Lutheran Church because many people here do love the Lord and are not aware of what the denomination has become. Shouldn't I stay and try to make a change from within rather than leave?
Well, if you're going to stay and try to get them out, then stay. But if you're going to stay and not try to get them out, I mean, Mona, you were part of our ELCA Lutheran Church years ago. Mm-hmm. We fought tooth and nail at those conventions trying to get the scriptures back us back to scriptures. And I fought for years, and it just got worse and worse and worse. I think the days of staying in the United Church of Christ, the ELCA Lutheran Church, the PCUSA, the days of staying and fighting, I think that ship has sailed. Mm-hmm. And it's time now to take your money and go to a church that's not going to use your money to pay for abortions in the church's health care plan. Mm-hmm. It's become so bad, I think it's time to jump ship.
Okay.
It's my opinion. And I don't doubt, though, there are many ELCA Lutherans that love the Lord who have no idea that their offering dollars can pay for abortions, because their pastor's not going to bring it up if he's a liberal, because they want the money to flow in. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
They have to find out for themselves.
It's tragic. Yeah.
What is the difference between a Presbyterian, a Lutheran, and a Methodist?
Yeah, we just talked about the Presbyterians. They go back to the teaching of John Calvin, 1500s. He was one of the reformers. And again, they're big on predestination, the sovereignty of God. Lutherans are big on the teaching that we're saved by grace alone and not by good works, Ephesians chapter 2, because Luther came out of medieval Catholicism, which was teaching, you know, you're kind of saved by how good you are. And then the Methodists come out of John Wesley in the 1700s. They're normally known for being big on holiness, free will, which I don't believe in. But he was a good evangelist, and many came to Christ through Wesley. So those are the good roots of Presbyterianism, Lutheranism, Methodism. Tragically, Luther, Calvin, and Wesley would weep over these denominations that bear their names.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the proper distinction between law and gospel?
Yeah, we've got a minute. This was a Lutheran that called that one, that wrote that one in. There are three uses of the law, meaning God's law, Ten Commandments. Number one use is to keep order in society, thou shalt not kill. Mm-hmm. Number two use is to show us our sin and our need for Jesus. Number three use, once we're saved, it shows us how to live a God-pleasing life. So those are the three uses of the law. We preach the law to convict people of sin, and then we preach the good news, the gospel, to show people they can be forgiven. We preach the law to afflict the comfortable. We preach the gospel to comfort the afflicted. But every sermon should have law and gospel in it. Paul does that in Romans. The first three chapters of Romans are Paul preaching the law, that we're sinners, we need a Savior. Then he brings Jesus in, the gospel, in Romans chapter 3. There you go.
Okay. Thanks for joining us today. God bless you. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.